Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak, coming to you this week from Cocoa Beach, Florida. We usually come from here or from Hawaii. There's quite a difference today. I look out at the surf this morning at Cocoa Beach, and we call them ankle slappers, just small little waves, although we had nice, sweet waves a couple days ago. But I got to surf double overhead with my son, Jeremiah, a couple days ago, actually. But he surfed 85 to 100-foot surf in Hawaii in 2007, and he texted me, "Dad, you got to watch. The World Surf League is having its big wave event at Jaws and Piahi in Maui, and there's 65-foot surf pounding over there, and it's nice and glassy over here." And so just quite a contrast. So enjoying the peacefulness of Florida. But you guys, yesterday it was 81 degrees, and tonight, and I think this morning it was freezing. It was down into the 60s, so pretty brutal in Florida this time of year. That's why I head back to Hawaii soon. But we're looking forward to having our guest today. He ruined my father's life, this man. Doesn't even know it. Tertiary damage. We have Peter Bond with Regina Cigars. He's the gentleman who provides our beautiful line of cigars that we have, the Bear's Man Cave Cigars, the Seven Virtue cigars, based on the Seven Virtues. The four milder blends are the cardinal virtues of justice, self-mastery, prudence, and fortitude. And the three Maduros, appropriately, are faith, hope, and love. But Peter Bond, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Thanks. Good morning.
This guy looks so cool. If you guys, I know most everybody listens on radio or on podcast, but we've got it on our YouTube channel, the Bear Wozniak channel. And he just looks like he ought to be a man who loves cigars. So good to have you on our show. You know, you ruined my dad's life.
I'm so sorry.
You know, I started smoking cigars when I built a cabin up in Montana. I literally built it myself. I even built the trusses. You know, had no idea what I was doing. Didn't even know which end of a hammer to use. I had to pull start a generator to use every power tool. We're 45 miles from the nearest electricity, 2 miles from the Canadian border in Glacier Park, and these little things called no-see-ums, these little bugs would bite me when I was trying to enjoy my view of the Glacier Mountains. And I asked people, "Hey, there's these little bugs. I can't even see them. Something's biting me. What is it?" And they said, "Those are called no-see-ums. And the way to get rid of them is to have a cigar." And so I had my first Swisher Sweet.
Oh.
It was the only thing they sold. And there's a little general store there in Polebridge, Montana. and I was able to get Swisher Sweets. And then something happened, and I found an Arturo Fuente, and life goes on. But my dad didn't understand. I would talk about, you know, how I'm out here praying in the evening. In fact, cigars are the reason why I have such a expanded prayer life, is because, you know, it extends your time of prayer and study. But Peter, you ruined my dad's life, because last summer I was with my father. He's 90 years old. And he said, you know what? I want to have a cigar with you. I don't think he didn't even know. You know how there's a certain way to hold a cigar. He didn't know anything about it, you know. And oh my gosh, now you know how many boxes of cigars you're sending to my dad now, right?
Oh
Greg,
yeah,
that's Greg Wozniak. That's my dad. He loves them.
Oh, that's great.
He spends an hour every day outside. And reading and having a cigar, although right now where he is, it's probably too cold. But, yeah, you ruined my dad. It's going to stunt his growth, I told him. He's 90 years old. but before we backtrack and get to know you a little bit, your personal testimony, tell me about, you know, where you live now and where you grew up and that beautiful area. There's beautiful Catholics and Southern Baptists in that region where you live. Just talk story. Tell us about how that all, how your faith, how you grew up and how your faith in the Lord grew up.
Sure. I was actually born in Tampa, cigar capital of the world.
Oh, my God. So you have it in your blood.
It was destiny, I believe. You know, I guess maybe one day I was a baby in a carriage and I smelled the cigar smoke floating down again. You know, it was going to be a part of my life.
I got to tell you though, Jamie Derzapolsky, he's a DJ for Spirit FM, the Catholic Christian rock station over there in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a little segment on his show back when I was first starting, and I came to Tampa. He says, I'm going to take you and show you the highlights of Tampa. First place you took me was the cemetery in Ybor City.
Mm.
And said, this is where all the great cigar masters are. And then he took me to the little Arturo Fuente store there, and I met Arturo Fuente the third. And
wow.
But his highlights of Tampa was this cemetery. So I get it. You smell that. That's kind of a latent memory there of cigars.
So
the baby carriage, you're in Tampa having a cigar. Go on.
Yes.
You probably have a cigar when you're 1 year old.
Well, you know, I figured my dad was handing cigars out when I was born, you know, as well. don't be stingy, Dad.
Give me the stogie.
Yeah, right. No, I grew up in a wonderful Catholic family, a cradle Catholic. My mom was a Baptist convert when my parents got married, and my dad's family was all Catholic and Greek Orthodox also.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, so I had kind of a blend there. I grew up with the iconography of the Orthodox faith and the tradition of the Roman faith, and then the love for Scripture that my mom's family all had as a Southern Baptist. So,
well,
kind of a hodgepodge. But
describe her Bible. Do you remember it?
Very worn.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah,
love
that's
that.
The way it should be.
It's so beautiful.
Be.
I mean, you know, the way you described her, you can just see that. I went to Baylor University, Southern Baptist University, and really there is where I fell in love with Scripture.
Yeah, you know? So they do have deep love for it.
So a very worn Bible. What a great mom.
Yeah, no, she's still a very prayerful woman. Just turned 70 last week. So
just a young young one.
Yeah, yeah. But I went through kind of a crisis of faith around 30 years old, which a lot of men do in that time. You know, our Lord was 30. When he started his public ministry, and there's just something that stirs in the heart of a man. And I had a lot of confusion too, because it wasn't so much that I wasn't being given the faith as much as I wasn't paying attention. And I had a lot of questions, and I couldn't seem to find the answers. And I spent a lot of time in the car back and forth listening to 1330 AM here in Tallahassee. At the time, it was a evangelical station, and good-hearted people and doing a lot, you know, trying to do the Lord's work. But there was a problem with the theology, because it would change every 30 minutes. Whenever a new pastor would come on, there was a disconnect there. And
right. You know, that's a very interesting statement.
Yeah.
I was. Go ahead.
I spent probably 6-7 hours a week in the car listening. And it, you know, I love God and I wanted to know him deeper, but I was so confused. And the things I was hearing made me almost want to leave the Catholic faith.
Did you find, you know, I know, like I went to one of the NARB, the National Religious Broadcasters Association in Orlando a year ago, and big conference. But every booth, there was a different theology. You know, there was
exactly.
I know I was with a friend of mine recently who I, in my days when I'd wandered from the church, had led him into a conversion for Christ, and then he went on to leave the church. And he said, you know how it is when you listen to different teachings and you have to pull the good from the bad, and you get the good stuff here and the good stuff there, but you kind of got to extract the good from the bad. And I go, yeah, I remember when that used to be like.
Yeah.
You know, listening to Christian radio, and it's kind of pay to play. You know, whoever can come up with the money gets to be on. But as a Catholic, it's different, isn't it?
It is, because, you know, the one thing I do thank the people that were on that were running that station, I thank them for, you know, making it available that people that had no relationship with God would want a relationship with God. But when you take it to the next level and you're like, all right, look, I'm looking for truth. I love God. I feel that in my heart, but my mind needs truth. And that's when the kind of things break apart, because there can't be multiple truths, and truth is symphonic. And so it has to be, I think von Balthasar said that truth is symphonic. And so I kept hearing a lot of clanging from different instruments, and nothing seemed to be symphonic. So in that search, I went through a real dark night of the soul, 31-ish or so. And I remember out of desperation, because I used to have a real good prayer life. I would get up every morning and I'd read the scriptures for, you know, half hour to an hour. I'd pray. I thought I had God on a string. You know, I really, you know, thought I was in a good spot. And then all that was taken away from me. And I had this darkness of soul.
We got to take a break right there. Yeah. Because I really want to go a little bit deeper into what questions you had, too, and then we'll really go deep into this period of crisis and of conversion. We're talking with my friend Peter Bond, the man who ruined my dad's life by sending him boxes of my Bear's Man Cave cigars, our seven virtue cigars that we have, available at deepadventure.com, by the way. And we'll be right back to explore more how he ruined my father's life and how he had a beautiful, deeper conversion with the Lord. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Plus, good stuff happens when you support us at patreon.com/Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure. You get instant access to every radio show, Bear Wozniak Adventure, and our TV episodes, Long Ride Home, the instant we produce them, months before they even air. Plus, we give you all kinds of free stuff, coffee cups, t-shirts, and other things like that. Go to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure and become our patron. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that bell.
Men, yes, we mean you. Go to deepadventure.com and check out Bear's Man Cave, a men's only Facebook group. Join the pack with other men as they challenge and inspire one another to manly virtue. Plus, you can dialogue with us in our regular video chat meetups. Plus, get your exclusive content. Join at deepadventure.com. That's deepadventure.com. This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak, and today I have my co-adventure guide with me, Peter Bond, who he looks the part. He is the man who had this beautiful vision to start a Catholic sort of oriented cigar company, Regina Cigars, and he's the one who produces our Bears Man Cave cigars for us, our seven different cigars that we have available at davidventure.com. But we're talking about this time in Peter's life as he was about 30, when a lot of men, that's kind of the time when they got to go, I got to get serious about life and what does it all mean? You said that you started listening to regular Christian radio because you had some questions. Do you remember what some of those were?
Well, it wasn't so much that I was, I was tuning in because I wanted to know more about God. And the questions just kind of naturally evolve. But it wasn't that I wasn't listening to Catholic radio. There was no Catholic radio. Right. We didn't have EWTN on TV at the time, let alone on radio.
Right.
I'll fast forward and kind of come back to the story. But in 2005, that station, 1330, actually became a Catholic station.
Praise God.
Yeah. And at about 2009, they ran out of money. And so it was going to go off the air. And the gentleman that was running it, again, I said he was an evangelical, he wanted to do old time gospel hour stuff on there. And so I had enjoyed those three or four years of clarity and teaching. And then he starts putting this really bad old time gospel hour stuff. I mean, stuff I couldn't stand. And I forced myself to listen to it for 2 weeks straight as a penance to see if it would propel me. And I prayed about it, and I told my wife, I said, we have to take this radio station and keep it Catholic because I don't want anyone else to nearly
praise
lose.
Praise God, Peter.
So we ended up running that station as a Catholic radio station from 2009 till about 2013, 14 when we sent it. We joined forces. I'm still on the board, the head of the board. But anyway, it's funny how the Lord works like that. You know, he took something that was almost a reason for me to leave the church, and he allowed me to kind of keep it on, and it's still on the air.
That,
and
that is so, what a great story. You know, and so many people I know involved in the EWTN radio network, in fact, most of them had nothing to do with radio.
Oh, yeah.
And God just kind of taps them on the shoulder and says, hey, you got a minute, you know? And next thing you know, they're starting.
More than a minute.
It takes a lot of faith because you got those big towers you got to maintain, and it's expensive.
Yeah.
More expensive to have a radio network than a TV network in some ways.
Yeah, I knew nothing about it. And I realized after a short amount of time, you need four people to run a Catholic or any radio station. You need a techie, you know, that can kind of do all the wires and the buttons. You need a nerd to do the books and keep the money, straight. You need a fundraiser who could go out there and schmooze and kiss babies and shake hands. And then you need a programmer to come up with content. So I was the nerd. And that was about all I could do.
You were the nerd? Are you kidding? I thought you were going to be the fundraiser. You're the one running wires. You couldn't even get your Ethernet cable ready today for our interview.
I didn't say I was a good nerd. But by the grace of God, through a lot of perseverance and struggle, we kept it on all those years. It's still on now. So that's been, next year will be 10 years since I've been in it.
That's a great story, but go back now. Go back.
Sure.
So you're listening to the Christian radio station, and I know what you mean. There was every half hour, there's a new theology that comes on.
Exactly.
You know, to get your show on EWTN, you go through a discernment department.
Right.
And I don't know how I slipped through the crack, but you know, I mean, you don't just get to be on EWTN. You go through to make sure your theology and your life.
Right.
Straight.
Right.
And so I know what you mean. Some great teaching. One of my favorite teachers, Chuck Swindoll, some great teaching there. But even there, I had to kind of parse some of it, you know. And so you have this kind of like confusion that takes place.
And that's exactly what was happening with me. I didn't, I knew I was supposed to respect Mary as a mother of God. And I knew that we went to the Eucharist, but on Sunday, but there was like a lot of this talking about how that was more symbolic and how Mary just didn't seem to play any kind of a part in that. And you know, I wasn't going to daily mass at the time. I was going to Sunday mass, and
you had been under catechized. There was a lot of
gaps
in your okay, I get it. Well, like a lot of us, yeah.
Yeah, and so anyway, I was searching, and I just couldn't seem to find all the answers. And then by the grace of God, I never left the church, but I went through this real dark night of the soul, and everything started being taken away from me. I couldn't pray anymore. I couldn't pick – the Bible would be sitting right in front of me, and it was almost as if I was being told, don't touch this. You don't know what you're doing. You know, it's like having a loaded weapon, okay?
Yes. Praise God.
I don't want to do it anymore. So I just was in this blackness, and out of desperation, I started going to morning mass because I was like, well, if I can't pray, at least I'll be around other people that are praying. And if I can't read the scriptures myself, at least I'll hear them read to me. And so it was kind of like God's way of saying, look, I'm going to teach you the things that you need.
It's like, this is sacred ground.
Exactly.
When you pick up that Bible, this is sacred ground. You need a guide.
The message I was getting was, I don't want you making me in your image. I made you in my image. Let me explain these things to you and stop trying to interpret them yourself falsely. So I went to daily mass every morning. I've been going every morning since, and that's been 17 years now. Now I've got 8 kids and 6 LLCs, so my wife and I alternate.
You got 8 kids and 6 LLCs. I've never heard anybody say it like that before.
Yeah,
they're both kind of your children too, right?
I'm telling you, I am a tired man. I was going through this dark night and out of desperation going to daily mass. And after about 9 weeks, you know, I had a lot of personal tragedy at the same time, family related stuff. And I was about 9 weeks into it. I was at mass, and I remember sitting there in the pew, and I was just weeping copiously. And I just looked up at the cross and I said, my God, why have you abandoned me? Where are you in all this? I mean, it was the worst moment of my life, you know. And I just dropped my head, and I heard the bells ring, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. And I looked up, and I saw the priest raising up the host. And I said, oh, dear God, you didn't leave me. I almost left you. I was willing to walk away from my inheritance. Mm. This is mine.
Oh, my goodness.
This is birthright. And it was like scales falling from St. Paul's eyes. That's how I felt. It was like I could finally see it, and I understood the mystery of the Eucharist in a new and deeper way. And then he just kept unfolding and unfolding and unfolding this day after day. And it's been a beautiful walk and a beautiful journey, and I praise him for every minute of it. Even in the dark part, you know, you and I had talked earlier about why do bad things happen to good people. Without want, there is no one – there's no opportunity for one to supply that want. And in a certain sense, as much as human want can be miserable, and it can be hard and difficult and trying and something we want to flee from, without it, there's really not a lot of opportunity for charity in the world, whether it be God himself giving certain invisible graces, or whether him giving graces that come to us in flesh, you know, or in a can of soup, or, you know, whatever it might be.
Lasagna.
You know, and
lasagna is good too.
Hey, that's a visible grace.
Very visible grace. And yeah. Chocolate.
Oh yeah.
And your cigars. But go ahead.
So I became a holy card printer by accident. I was in the printing business all these years, in the family business, just selling commercial printing. And I always thought to myself, if I could just stop selling business cards, I could really serve God somewhere.
Yeah, but tell me, what year was this?
This was all – I started printing in the family printing business in 1992, and this was all like in 2002.
So there was a big transition in the printing – the whole printing world.
Right.
Through a huge transition during this time of crisis too.
Right. And so I was at the point now where I'm not an author. I'm not a writer. I have no skill set. I've not
actually gone to you should be, Peter. You should be.
Well, you know, I can pray, and that's what I did. Was during that real time of crisis, I started writing these prayers down, and I was like, you know, I'm in the printing business. Maybe I'll put some on the back of a card with a picture of Jesus on the front. Maybe put some out at the church, and I did that. And the next thing you know, I'm getting calls. Hey, can you send some more of those cards? And then more prayers started coming, and then more cards started coming, and. Right now, we're the largest holy card, family-owned holy card publisher in the United States. We have over 750 titles, and we ship all over the world.
We've got about
cards in stock.
We got to take a break, Peter. Time goes by. But, you know, I got to tell you, my dad, you know, is an ordained deacon, but he doesn't minister anymore. But what he does is he goes to Mass on Sundays. Well, he goes to Mass every morning. But on Sunday mornings, all the children come by him in his wheelchair, and he hands out holy cards to them and tells them how beautiful they are, how special they are, how there's no one else in the world like them, how God has a perfect plan for their lives, and gives them holy cards. So you and I got to send him some holy cards, okay?
Absolutely. I'll get full supply.
Yeah, we're talking with Peter Bond. I forgot that's how you got started. Peter Bond, who creates our beautiful Bear's Man Cave cigars. And, hey, Peter, we should put in a plug for them. They can go to women especially, go to deepadventure.com, buy your men the 7 cigar sampler. You can go to our shop on deepadventure.com, and you can buy the 7 Virtue cigars. For those who are watching on YouTube, you can see I have the sample of them right here with a proper humidity manager inside them. But it's a great gift to give to your men. So you go to deepadventure.com and order them by the box, which you can see back here if you're on YouTube, or by the sampler size of 7. Great, great gift to give to the men, because in there, when you unpeel the wrapper of the 7 Virtues, if you unpeel the wrapper for Coraggio or Fortitude, and you have to unpeel it to really enjoy the cigar, we made the labels kind of big, there's a quote from one of my books on that particular virtue. So it's a great way for men to enjoy a cigar during the holidays with each other, but talk about something other than sports. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. We believe that the most radical thing you can do in life is abandon yourself to the wildness of God's will. I was watching The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe the other night with my wife, you know, C.S. Lewis's story of Aslan the Lion. And towards the end of the show, he says, I'm a good lion. That doesn't mean I'm a tame lion. God is wild. You can't put him in a box. And when you say to God, like Peter did, let your will be done, get ready for a wild ride. And my prayer always for my wife is every day that her wildest dreams will come true, because I think it's a wild ride. It appears like that's kind of what got started. Peter's been telling us now how he started to pray these prayers, writing them down, and then you begin to create holy cards. And you said 750 different types of cards?
Yeah, about 750 different card titles. We have about 4 million cards in our warehouse. We ship them all over the world. It's just it's something that I never could have imagined. But God took that time of grief and that time of heartbreak and that time of questioning and confusion, and he straightened all that out, and then gave me a mission. And, you know, you talk about your dad with the little kids. I remember, like I mentioned before, you know, growing up with the Greek Orthodox faith on my grandfather's side, and then the Catholic faith, and then my mom's Baptist heritage from her family. I remember as a kid getting these little holy cards, the beautiful, and they stuck with me. They were just, you know, they were deeper than a baseball card collection. They had faith. They were tangible signs of our faith.
The nuns would give it to me if I remembered my catechism teaching or something. I loved it.
Yeah. And I remember being, I mentioned I'd gone to high or middle school at a Catholic school. And when I was in sixth grade, they took us to a monastery up in Conyers, Georgia, Monastery of the Holy Spirit. I met a little monk, Father Francis Xavier, and he passed away probably about 12 years ago. But I was 12 years old, and he and I became pen pals, and we would send holy cards back and forth to each other in the mail. So now, you know, childhood is not about, it's not about just getting through it figure out what you're going to do. Every single thing that happens to you in your childhood, there's seeds planted for down the road. So now I spend my days putting holy cards in envelopes and mailing them all over the world. So, you know, God works.
4 million holy cards sitting in your warehouse. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, the people who, okay, well now the people who are watching this on YouTube, by the way, we really want to encourage people to subscribe to go to Bear Wozniak and on YouTube and subscribe, because then you get the radio show on video. And if we can get 1,000 more subscribers, YouTube will blow us up a little bit, they said. So help us out by going there and subscribing. But if you're watching Peter Bond right now on YouTube, you're sitting in a humidor, it looks like to me. I see a yeah. wall of cigars behind you.
Yeah.
And your own label, the Regina Cigars.
Right.
And so how did that happen?
Well, I
you went from Holy Cards to, I don't want to interrupt the flow of your story, but.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of choppy, but my wife says I'm a serial entrepreneur. anything that's a hobby, I have to turn it into a business. I don't know what motivates me that way, but I'm kind of wired that way. I told my dad, you know, he's not real handy with a toolbox, you know, and I said, you know, I know a lot of guys say, well, my dad taught me how to do this, build this, and build that. I said, my dad never taught me how to build anything except a business.
And, yeah, mine too. Mine too. Exactly. Very, very correct. I'm good at getting estimates.
Yeah, right, right. But
right now, the washing machine salesman, washing machine repairman, may come in any minute during this interview, you know, because we have my studio in my house, because I couldn't fix it. Now, YouTube doesn't fix everything, you know.
That's right.
I don't have any handyman skills, but I can get estimates.
That's right. That's all it takes. But so anyway, I decided I was going to buy a retail cigar shop. It was my old cigar shop back in early 90s when I first started enjoying cigars.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and I heard the guy was retiring, and I had been selling cigars all that time on the side as a wholesaler for almost 20 years. And so it was a kind of a natural fit, and I had never been in brick and mortar before. But I bought the store and started meeting a lot of friends, I just realized, though, that you know, when you're dealing with the general public like that, I kind of had to come out of my little Catholic bubble, because as a Holy Card publisher, all my customers are either priests or nuns or, you know, little old ladies who run adoration chapels. I mean, everybody's nice and they're kind and they're charitable. And I was in a whole new world now. Everybody came in and they were cranky and they were having a good day or having a bad day, or they believed in God or they didn't believe in God, or they hated God, or they, you know, there was all kinds of people. And so I would kind of watch the dynamic in the cigar shop, and I would see that, you know, the guys would be smoking their cigar and enjoying that, and then eventually they'd have to take the band off, and they'd fidget with the band and look at it. And I thought, I'm like, how can I get my faith in these people's hands, but not in a preachy way, in a very subtle way? And so I thought, you know, if I could actually make like a little band that was like a holy card with a beautiful image on
the
front.
You did it too, man. You did it. Yeah.
On the back. And, and then I said, well, how am I going to compete with all the other brands in the humidor? If you look around me, we probably have 800 open boxes in here. And I look around, and it was an old tradition that cigar companies would use pictures of beautiful women on their bands to get the attention of the guys. And I said, well, if I'm going to have to compete with these other brands, I'm going to have to use a picture of the most beautiful woman that ever lived. And I said,
praise
God. That brought us to Our Lady.
Oh, and, praise God.
Yeah. And someone asked me, said, aren't you, isn't that sacrilegious? Aren't you just using, you know, your faith to sell cigars? I said, no. You misunderstand it. I'm using cigars to sell our faith. Mm-hmm. You know, putting it in their hands.
Hey, describe what you and I did with my cigars, the Bear's Man Cave cigars. Describe them for everybody, and the labels and all that. Because it's a good example of what you're saying.
Well, what we do, I took the printing background, and then I have the, you know, this massive library of Catholic holy card images. And so we can take any type of image. What we did with yours in particular, you know, you had supplied us the quotes, and we have the logo, and then you get the images, and we can theme each one and do custom banded cigars like that.
But you have the images of the seven, the women,
right,
who represent each of those virtues, the classic women. Is that Renaissance, right, or what are those paintings? What era is those paintings?
I think so, yes, uh-huh.
And so you have the image for courage, and there's a woman that, who represents that virtue.
Exactly.
So the label is really cool. Yeah. Go ahead and describe then.
Sure.
How we chose the different blends. I'm gonna hold up the card for people who are seeing, you know, on YouTube. Each of those women represents one of the seven virtues. It's just so cool.
It's a great way of evangelizing, because you know the thing about cigars is, it's not a habit. It's a hobby. Guys get together and they enjoy different blends. They try different ones and they find nuances. And then when they're having the cigar and they're talking, they're having conversations, you know, what you did there with putting the virtues on the bands, it gives a pause in the conversation when they have to take it off and they look at it. And they're like, huh, this is kind of neat. And then it becomes a talking point.
And so you know what? It really does, doesn't it?
It does. And it becomes an opening for a conversation that never would have been able to, you know, be had otherwise.
So when a woman, if a woman who loves her husband or her brother or her son goes to our website, deepadventure.com, and they can send them the 7-cigar sampler, it really is striking, the beauty of the labels. But then when you unpeel that, and it's really easy to unpeel so you don't tear it, and then there's this quote from my book on one of the virtues, it really gives them pause to consider. And cigar is always about a great pause, right? I mean, it's a one-hour
It's a commitment.
Vacation. Yeah, Go ahead. I'm sorry.
In the cigar shop, I have a kind of a – we opened a second store about a year ago. We opened on the Feast of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, December 8th.
Congratulations.
And, so we're celebrating 1 year for that and 25 years overall for the business. But – what I say, my you know, somebody asked me my philosophy about, you know, well, how do you sell more cigars? And I said, the cigars are not the end. The cigars are the means. The ends are the conversations and the friendships and the authentic masculinity that can take place in a safe place in a cigar lounge. I mean, as a gentleman's place, not as just a, you know, place. One of the first things I did when I bought that retail store, the gentleman that owned it before I did, he was a little salty in his character as ex-cop, and the language is a little tough. And, you know, I said, you know, I spent the last 15 or 20 years trying not to hear words like this, and I don't want to go back to that. So I put up a little sign in both stores, multiple signs in the bigger store. It says, speak like the gentleman you are. Profanity is beneath your dignity.
And praise God, Peter Bond. You rock, man.
It's a silent little reminder. If you can read and you're sitting in there, you know the ethos of the store. This isn't a place to come in here and tell all your bad stories. This is a place to come in here and enjoy good, authentic friendships and manly conversations about things that matter.
And I got to tell you, you know, Peter, when you do have a cigar, it is taking a time out.
It is.
So it's about an hour.
Yeah.
And G.K. Chesterton, man, he's going to become the patron saint of cigars, I think. But my prayer life, I got to tell you, my morning prayer, of course, I have, it's about a half hour to an hour, maybe sometimes longer. But in the evening when I'm studying, that cigar carries me into it and through my prayer time, and then my reading and my writing of books or whatever. There's just something beautiful about it. Maybe it's the breathing in. I don't know what it is. There's something tactile, like a rosary. There's the breathing in and out, like saying the Jesus prayer. It's something beautiful about a cigar. It's very manly about a cigar.
I think
that's the other thing. It's very manly. Women do enjoy them from time to time, but it's kind of a man thing. We'll be right back with more with Peter Bond. He is the owner of Regina Cigars, and he provides the beautiful 7 sampler cigars that we have on our website, the 7 Virtue cigars that we created for our supporters at deepadventure.com. Peter, we'll be right back with you after this break.
Good stuff happens when you support us at patreon.com/Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure. You get instant access to every radio show, Bear Wozniak Adventure, and our TV episodes, Long Ride Home, the instant we produce them, months before they even air. Plus, we give you all kinds of free stuff, coffee cups, t-shirts, and other things like that. Go to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure and become our patron. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that bell.
Men, yes, we mean you. Go to deepadventure.com and check out Bear's Man Cave, a men's only Facebook group. Join the pack with other men as they challenge and inspire one another to manly virtue. Plus, you can dialogue with us in our regular video chat meetups. Plus, get your exclusive content. Join at deepadventure.com. That's deepadventure.com.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We're with Peter Bond, who I really dig him. He's a man's man. He's bold. He's entrepreneurial. He's created with his wife 8 babies and 7 LLCs, I think you said. He helped carry on a Catholic radio station that was having financial difficulties and took care of it, doing all kinds of things outside the box. But what's inside the box that I love is his cigars. And we have our Seven Virtue cigars available at deepadventure.com. They can buy the sampler set or they can buy a whole box if one of the individual blends. But Peter, we had a men's group that wanted to, cigars sent to them about a month ago. And by the way, at the Napa Institute, we provide your cigars to everybody that comes. I think we gave away 500, 600 cigars in Sacramento last year. But there was a men's group that was putting on a men's conference, and they wanted to use our cigars. And you had a real challenge getting them to them because of the hurricane.
Right.
Can you tell us talk story with us about your experience of that hurricane and what lessons we can take from that? What was the name of the hurricane again that went through?
Hurricane Michael. Okay. And they came in and just slapped this side of Florida as hard as we've ever seen. I think they said it was like a mile or two, an hour shy of being a Category 5. And it was a direct hit in Mexico Beach, Panama City, which is a little west of us. We were out of power for about 4 days on average. Some places around here over almost 2 weeks were out of power. Some of the smaller towns really got hurt. But I tell you, one of the things that my brother-in-law is a priest from Panama City at St. Dominic's. And, you know, they started out over there. Someone brought some supplies and their church got really damaged. Their parish hall was completely gone.
Oh, that's that parish. I heard about that.
Yeah, that's my brother-in-law's a pastor there.
No way.
Yeah. And so they have basically, you're talking about God working in mysterious ways. You know, my brother-in-law had never been trained in emergency response management or anything like that, or never been a member of the Red Cross emergency team. But there he was, and someone brought some supplies, and then someone else came up and needed some supplies, so he gave them to them. And then somebody else brought more supplies, and more people showed up. Now they had, at one point, I think around 5,000 people a day coming through that parking lot of that church. But what a means of evangelization. And like I said earlier, as hard as it is with human suffering and want and tragedy and why do you know good things or bad things happen to good people, there is a place for God to work there. And sometimes that's the only thing that gets us to pay attention is when we are in need. When everything's comfortable, when we have 24-hour Walmart and we have next-day delivery by Amazon and FedEx and all, we don't have any patience for anything. But when your power's out and you have nothing to do and that boredom sets in and the frustration that comes with it, and you reach out to God a little bit more and you're asking for help. And that's the kindergarten of prayer is having need and asking God for help. And then it goes on to deeper levels. But our country seems to be, in certain senses, our culture at least, so far from God that these things are opportunities for wake up to get closer to Him. He's always trying to be close to us, but we're always trying to avoid Him. Whether it's the technology that keeps us separated, or the businesses of our schedules, whatever it might be. But one thing I do want to give a shout out to the Knights of Columbus. I am a Knight myself.
Praise God for the Knights.
They did amazing work and just coordination of supply efforts. And I said this about our side of Florida. Everybody thinks you talk about Florida being so cold. You were in the 60s this morning. We were in the 30s. Okay, we're South Georgia up here. And I told people, I said, we're Bubba's, but we get it done. And you'd hear the hum of the generators and the chainsaws.
So what do the Knights of Columbus do? Is that at the local level or at the national level they send in?
Well, it's the national and the local. I mean, our local parish Knights Council coordinated water distribution and food and clothing, everything else. And we pitched in everything and helped load trucks, and they would take them down to the affected areas and bring them back all the supplies they needed. It was a very coordinated, very disciplined, and very generous effort by the Knights of Columbus. And very, very proud to be a Knight, just to be part of that organization. They do so much good for so many people quietly and without thanks, without any kind of fanfare. They're just there. They're a solid rock.
I was just speaking with the communications director for Knights of Columbus yesterday. And I became a member only a year ago, but so proud to be a member, and we're so proud of the Knights of Columbus. And yeah. I think that in a way they're the point of the spear. With the challenges in the church today, the scandal and all of that, we need manly virtue again.
Amen.
And in the Knights of Columbus, you've got this great resource of older men.
Right.
I mean, some of them are much older.
Yeah.
And they can teach, even though I'm a senior citizen, they can teach me a lot. But we need to get our younger men involved so that this, kind of like your dad didn't teach you how to, wasn't a repairman, didn't teach you how to do things with tools, but he taught you business.
Right.
We need these men to mentor us about life. And
right.
We need to use that knowledge and wisdom and virtue, expose ourselves to that while we can because we're getting older. And we need to renew the Knights of Columbus all the way to the youngest of our men.
I agree. Yeah, they are, like you said, the tip of the spear. It's practical Christianity. It's where the rubber meets the road. When there's someone in need, when there's some good that needs to be done, and nobody else is willing to do it, the Knights are there. And I had my three boys with me, and they were loading water bottles and cases of soup or whatever on the truck. And you know, when we first were there in the parish hall, we saw this huge, you know, display of supplies that needed to go out. And I said, "Come on, boys, let's go help." I'm like, "Oh, do we have to do that?" You know, 8, 10, and 12 years old, giving this typical resistance. I said, "This is bigger than you are. You need to help. There's people that don't have anything. We didn't get it as bad as they did." And so they pitched in, and boy, by the end of it, they were so happy to have been part of it. But to have somebody to coordinate that and to have the initiative and say, "We're going to do it." And like you said, some of the older gentlemen, I'm in my 40s. One of the gentlemen that was spearheading it, he was in his 70s, and he was up there lifting bottles of water like nobody's been. I mean, he was just cranking them out, and I was just very impressed. I mean, you could tell he felt it from the bottom of his heart. He had the sense of urgency to help other people.
We're proud of our Knights of Columbus, and men need to be with other men. There are men's movements now, men's conferences, cell groups of men, you know, that gather to study Scripture and to bond with one another. I have my Bears Man Cave, where men can come and they go to my website, join Bears Man Cave. It's $10 a month. And then they get access to my secret Facebook group. And we post things there. We challenge, we equip, we mobilize. We have every 2 or 3 weeks a Zoom video meetup where we all can talk and look at each other. And we go through my book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. But what that lacks is action, is the boots on the ground type thing of Knights of Columbus. Knights, right. The way you forge brotherhood is by doing, having a common cause and doing something together, talking and praying and all that has its place. But we need men of action too. We need faith in action. That when we rode our motorcycles across the United States, we became a band of brothers. We helped each other. We helped others. We witnessed. We were men in action. And so I think in that way, younger men need to become part of Knights of Columbus and become part of that, the brotherhood of men and faith in action.
I totally agree. The infrastructure is already there. The organization's already there. It has the roots and the history. We just need to bring new blood in. And I encourage you, anything you can do through your media outreaches to help people learn more about the Knights, to join up with the Knights. It's a great organization. I resisted it for years.
Me too. I thought it was something that the guys, you know,
I thought it was like the Boy Scouts, and I was a Boy Scout dropout after about 2 weeks. I was like, I'm not wearing that tie, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to wear that funny hat. But they got rid of them, I heard.
Right.
I heard they have berets now. That kind of stuff. Yeah, and I was like, they're just the guys that run bingo. And then because, like you said, they do so much, but it's behind the scenes and it's quiet. Exactly. And then when you get involved, you go, oh, my gosh, they're doing so much.
Yeah,
and the good news, though, also is for men like you and I who are entrepreneurial and we're busy, they say, look, you don't have to give your life and soul to the Knights of Columbus. They said, basically, we want, you know, 5 to 10 hours a year from you. That's your minimum requirement. But once you were willing to give that, then you find a natural avenue to give within Knights of Columbus. But you don't have to be afraid that you're going to suddenly get overwhelmed with, needing to serve. We're talking with Peter Bond of Regina Cigars. And how can they find you, Peter?
You can find out about our holy cards at catholicprayercards.org, and the cigars are at reginacigars.com.
But the best cigars that you have of all, they can get at deepadventure.com. Our seven sampler, the seven virtue cigars. Peter, thank you for being with us. We want to invite everybody to go to our website, deepadventure.com. We're letting you know this now because it's the holidays. We have my books are on sale. We have our Long Ride Home coffee cups. Women, you can buy the cigars for your for your spouse, or you can buy them a membership in Bear's Man Cave for your brothers, your sons. But we really love the women because they kind of give the men the nudge to get going. Until next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to BearWozniak.com to get your free audio and other exciting content. Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group, all at BearWozniak.com.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.